Once again, their number is 452-1147. They would like to take a moment to extend a warm Christmas greeting. They are one of the fine Fairbanks businesses sponsoring our two-hour Alaska Gold Trails program coming up right after Johnny Holiday Sports.
Hi, everybody. Johnny Holiday reporting on sports. Mary Decker Slaney will not be competing in the 1988 indoor track season. Slaney, the nation's top woman's middle distance runner, has not fully recovered yet from an injured right calf. Winning an Olympic medal is now the major goal in Slaney's career, and she feels she doesn't want to risk any more injuries by racing indoors. She said she'd planned to compete in only three indoor meets in 1988. Hard to believe, but still 15 of the 28 teams in the National Football League still have hopes of getting the Super Bowl. One of those clubs is the Indianapolis Colts. A Colts victory over Tampa Bay Sunday, and they win the AFC East. Indy linebacker Dwayne Bickett knows what's on the line.
Being in the position that we're going to be in the playoffs, if we win our last game, you know, you couldn't ask for a better situation. I think we're all real excited about it, and we just have to not get over excited and come out there and try to do too many things. We've just got to play the ball that we've been playing and win a ball game.
Tomorrow at Christmas Day, the annual Sun Bowl takes place at El Paso, Texas. Oklahoma State, ranked 11th in the country, puts its record of 9-2 on the line against the West Virginia Mountaineers. They're 6-5. The Cowboys' two losses came at the hands of number 1 Oklahoma and number 5 Nebraska. Four of West Virginia's losses have been by 5 points or less. The Oklahoma State's out of the Big Eight and naturally has to play in the shadows of the Sooners and the Cornhuskers. So Coach Pat Jones looks forward to getting some recognition out of tomorrow's game for his Cowboys.
I don't think it's any great secret that in our league we do somewhat get lost up in the luster of the OU Nebraska. But our guys feel good about our program. Our stance has always been that they got their deal going, we got ours. I can't worry about them, I can worry about us, and just try to make our program as good as we possibly can. And I think we've gotten that accomplished.
Pitcher Ron Darling and the Mets have verbally agreed in a $1 million contract for the 1988 season. That's a 5% pay cut for the veteran pitcher who went 14 consecutive starts without a victory this year. The Aloha Bowl in Honolulu tomorrow spotlights the UCLA Bruins against the Florida Gators. The Gators are led by running back Emmitt Smith, but the Bruins will have to play without their top rushing threat, Gastone Green. And the Blue-Gray All-Star Game also takes place tomorrow in Montgomery, Alabama. Gordy Lockbaum, who placed third in the Heisman voting, will showcase his talents for the Pro Scouts who will be on hand. For the ABC Information Network, I'm Johnny Holiday.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to Alaska Gold Trails. I'm your host, Jim Madonna, from the University of Alaska Mining Extension. This is your radio show on mining in Alaska, past, present, and future. More specifically, folks, gold mining in Alaska's misty past, controversial present, and, of course, mysterious future. This is our special two-hour Alaska Gold Trails Christmas program. We're going to feature many of Alaska's pioneers highlighting tales from their most memorable Christmases. As you will see, none are traditional, all are exciting, and some are unbelievable. And if you have a Christmas story you would like to share, give us a call. The number is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. I know many of you must have some fascinating Christmas tales that perhaps you wouldn't mind sharing with us. So if you just want to chat for a couple of minutes or want to share one of your favorite frontier Christmases, give us a call. The number once again is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. Let's talk frontier Christmases through the years along Alaska Gold Trails. Well, folks, let me tell you just a little bit of history here on how Alaska Gold Trails got its start. One day, last September, when I was guest with Michael Dresser, we began talking about a mining show. It was a real long and in-depth conversation. I said, we should put a one-hour mining show on. Michael said, you got it. I said, no kidding. And the next week, we started. The guy is a man of few words, isn't he? But, folks, there's a heck of a lot more to it than that. I want to thank KFAR Radio for providing the 1 hour of radio time for the UAF Mining Extension Program. You should also know that half of the sponsor's contribution goes to support Mining Extension. Through these contributions, then, KFAR and the sponsors are doing their part to support the Alaska mining community through the Mining Extension Educational Program. Add to this the happy group of people who run the station, and you have a winning combination, believe me. On behalf of the UAF Mining Extension, I want to thank KFAR and wish all the folks here a Merry Christmas. They're the greatest. You know, it takes a great deal of cooperation to make a community strong, and of course, it is this continual contribution to the local businesses that lends to our community's strength. One of the businesses that's been around for 40 Christmases is Hector's Welding, located at 13 Mile Richardson Highway. They are well known as the mining equipment manufacturing people. All the folks at Hector's send season's greetings, and here to give you a personal touch is Hector himself.
Hello, this is Hector from Hector's Welding. On behalf of all of us here at the shop, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Let me just take a moment, folks, to thank Hector, Jeanette, and all the folks at Hector's Welding for sponsoring Alaska Gold Trails, and Merry Christmas, my friends. As you might guess, there are many businesses in Fairbanks and the outlying areas that have contributed significantly to community strength, and one of the businesses that was born and grew in Fairbanks, Alaska, over the span of many years is Larson's Jewelry, located at 4th and Noble. As many of you know, Larson's is more than a jewelry store. They do goldsmithing, engraving, locksmithing, and provide a wide selection of trophies and plaques. The folks at Larson's want to wish you a Merry Christmas, and here is Nelda with her thoughts for the festive season.
Hi, this is Nelda from Larson's. On behalf of all of us here in the shop, we would like to wish you the spirit of Christmas, which is peace, and the gladness of Christmas, which is hope. Have a very Merry Christmas and the happiest of New Years.
Thank you, Nelda. And I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas, and all the folks at Larson's a very Happy New Year. Well, I see that I have Michael Dresser right here with me, and he wants to give you a comment.
Yeah, actually what I want to say, because I haven't had the chance to get on the air to do this, but all you KFAR listeners out there, from mine to yours and from me to you, a very Merry Christmas and a Happy Holiday, and be safe. I'll see you guys Tuesday.
Thank you, Michael Dresser. Very nice. And it's time for us to take a look. What could be more fascinating than the pioneers that are just about to share their most memorable Christmases with you? But before launching into the thick of the program, let's do what we do to give away, this time, a 1 troy silver coin from Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street. The first person to call us at 479-TALK, that's 479-8255, and give us the correct answer to our question, we'll win a 1 troy ounce silver coin from Oxford. Now listen, folks. The question here is, what item do most of us use on a daily basis that contains the following essential metals? Platinum, iron, lead, chromium, and copper. And looks to me like our phone lines are already lit up. Let's see what we've got here. Hello, you're on the air.
Is it water?
Water? Not quite.
Okay.
Thank you for your call. Hello, you're on the air.
How about a catalytic converter?
Well, that's close. What's a catalytic converter on?
In an automobile.
Yes, ma'am, that's the answer. It's an automobile. And, of course, the platinum is in the catalytic converter. We have the iron in the frame and structure of the automobile, the lead in the battery, the chrome on the bumpers, and the copper in the wiring.
Right.
And what's your name, ma'am?
Shirley Ballon.
Let me just jot that down. Shirley?
B-E-L-O-N.
B-E-L-O-N.
Correct.
Shirley, tell you what, stop up here at the KFAR studio and the Washington Plaza, pick up your certificate and drop over at Oxford, and they'll give you a 1 troy ounce silver coin.
Well, thank you very much.
Hey, Shirley, thanks for calling.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye.
While we're on the subject of automobiles, folks, we have some friends over at Tip Top Chevrolet located at 1916 Cushman that want to wish you a season's greetings. Here's Robbie.
Well, thank you, Jim. This is Robbie Ginther down at Tip Top Chevrolet, and I'd just like to extend to all of you out there from all of us here at Tip Top, season's greetings and a happy holiday.
Thank you, Robbie. On behalf of the University of Alaska Mining Extension and KFAR Radio, I want to thank you for sponsoring Alaska Gold Trails and wish you a Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year. How many times, folks, have I said that B&L Pawn Shop at the corner of Gaffney and Cushman is like a giant garage sale? You can get anything over there. But they are more than that. They are the people that help you out when money is a little tight. I was over there the other day, and guess who I ran into? None other than Killer, the one that sweetens the deal if you tell her you heard about B&L Pawn on Alaska Gold Trails. She's really a cream puff. And I'd like to add that Killer is here today to give you her thoughts and season's greetings.
This is Killer at B&L Pawn. We'd like to wish you all the merriest of Christmases and a very happy New Year.
Well, thanks, Killer. And on behalf of all of us here at KFAR and the University of Alaska Fairbanks Mining Extension, thank you for sponsoring Alaska Gold Trails, and Merry Christmas. Well now, can you imagine, folks, that the pioneers are all sitting around a crackling wood fire, spinning yarns and drinking a cup of coffee? Well, that's just exactly how these interviews that you're about to hear were captured on tape. Keep in mind that we were sitting in a cozy room with a crackling wood fire and a cup of coffee in our hands while the pioneers spun their yarns. And I hope you will enjoy the most memorable pioneer Christmases along Alaska Gold Trails. Ernie Wolfe is one of the most well-known prospectors, placer miners, and educators in Alaska mining community. Ernie was born in St. Paul, Minnesota in 1919. He came to Fairbanks, Alaska in 1938, attended the university, and worked in the Alaskan mining industry. Ernie had quite a colorful life, prospecting and mining in the Chandelier Circle and Fairbanks Mining District. Here is one of Ernie Wolfe's most memorable Christmases. We're here with Ernie Wolfe, and I thought perhaps that Ernie could give us some information regarding one of his more memorable Christmases here in the interior of Alaska. Ernie, what do you got for us today?
Well, I don't know if anybody else would appreciate the story, but I had a friend here, it was maybe 30 years ago, who had been out of work all winter, and he wanted the kids to have a decent Christmas. So somehow he scraped up the money and he brought the toys out, and he left them with me. We were about halfway between Fairbanks and where he lived, which happened to be on Chena Ridge. This was before there was a road up there, but it was before the road was passable all the time. He wanted it to be done up right. He didn't want to bring the toys back to the house because it was a small house. He had a young, growing family, and he wanted it to come from Santa Claus. So he left him with me, and we had a friend. Many people might remember him. He was Doc Rolfe. He was crippled. Although he got through life fine, he knew everybody and he helped everybody, but he couldn't help himself walk very well. So he came along. We were going to ride all the way in the car anyway. So about 8 o'clock in the morning, we got to the foot of Chena Ridge and couldn't get any farther. We took about 5 runs at it and couldn't get up the hill. So we went around the other way, which is by the bluff that overlooks the Panama, and that wasn't much of a road either. But I thought maybe it wouldn't be quite so steep. We couldn't get up there either. So about, it was pushing noon by then, and I figured I'd better walk up and see if the kids had given up yet. And sure enough, they'd given up. It took about a half hour to walk up, and they had given up. They didn't believe Santa Claus was going to come at all, and I told them that he'd been trying to find a place, but the directions were not as good as they should have been, so he dumped it with me. And, well, the kids perked up a little bit, but they still didn't believe it was going to happen. But we had to take a hand sled and go down the hill and get the packages that had been left. And, of course, they all knew my friend Doc Rolfe, and these kids were starting to grow pretty well, and they had some strength, and so we hitched them all up to this hand sled, and we pulled Doc and the toys up the hill, and it's quite steep. Part of it was quite steep anyway, but they laid in with a will, and we got it up there, and by that time it was almost starting to get dark again, because it's a short days. And we pulled Doc up too, and when the kids saw all those things, well, their faith in Santa Claus was reestablished. And of course, then they got out the coffee and cookies and everything for us, and we had a little party. We didn't get out of there really until it was well after dark ourselves, but it worked out, and those children are still living, some of them are still living in town here, and they recall that at Christmas.
Well, thanks, Ernie, for sharing one of your more memorable Christmases with us.
Thank you, Ernie, and Merry Christmas this year of 1987. Folks, this is Jim Madonna, your host with Alaska Gold Trail, special Christmas celebration. I think we've got a call here. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a question that I would like to have answered, Jim.
I'll do my best.
Okay. I hear, and I am not into metals and so forth, but every time you talk about precious metals, you talk about troy ounces. Would you explain what is a troy ounce relative to an average poy ounce, for example, which is what we measure most of our commodities in, and the difference and why and so forth?
You know what happens there is I get all that information tucked away in my head, and then nobody asks the question for 4 or 5 years, and I forget what the relation is between average poy and, of course, troy ounces. However, yeah. We should understand that we do deal in troy ounces when we speak in terms of precious metals, and that includes not only gold, but silver and platinum as well.
Yeah.
So, but for me to exchange gold and platinum for potatoes, it's kind of difficult. Average poy, of course, is what you use when you go down to the grocery store and buy your potatoes or other grocery
right.
items.
But so, what I'm trying to find out is, for instance, is there 16 troy ounces to a pound?
There's 12 troy ounces to a troy pound.
Okay.
And so everything is done in troy. And like I said earlier, I can't keep the relationship in my mind simply because the question doesn't come up enough. It's a good question, and I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll find out, and I'll give it to you on the next show. How's that?
Sounds like a winner to me.
Okay.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you, sir, and thanks for the call. All right, folks, if you want to chat for a minute, the number here is 479-TALK. That's 479-8255. And all of us here want to thank Tim Schroeder over at Import Auto Body for sponsoring Alaska Gold Trails. As you know, Import Auto Body is located at 2201 Judge Street, where they offer the finest in auto body repairs. Tim and all the folks over at Import Auto Body want to wish our listening audience a very Merry Christmas and happiest of New Year's. On behalf of KFAR Radio and the University of Alaska, Tim, I want to let you know how grateful we are for your sponsorship of the show here. We are wishing you a Merry Christmas and the happiest of New Year's. It's impressive, folks, when we have a homegrown business which receives a special award, and that's precisely what happened over at Arctic Springs, located at 285 Alta Way, when Bob, Charlene, and James Johnson started their Leaf Spring and U-Bolt manufacturing plant some years ago. They were one of the first businesses to be awarded the use of the Made in Alaska logo for using Alaskan products and labor. Folks over there at Arctic Springs want to wish you special greetings during this festive season. Here's Bob Johnson from Arctic Springs.
This is Bob Johnson from Arctic Springs, wishing everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thank you.
Bob, Charlene, and Jim, it was nice visiting with you the other day, and on behalf of KFAR and the University of Alaska, I want to thank you for sponsoring Alaska Gold Trails, and I want to wish you folks a Merry Christmas and, of course, a happy and prosperous New Year. Now, let's hear another Frontier Christmas. Don May is one of the most respected placer miners in the state of Alaska. Don came to Alaska from North Carolina in 1950 when he was 20 years old. He was an adventurous young man looking for frontier opportunities in trapping, mining, and in general, frontier living. Here is Don May to share one of his most memorable frontier Christmases with you.
Don, won't you please tell us one of your most memorable Christmases that you've had here in Alaska?
Well, Jim, it's nice to be able to sit down here and talk to you for a few moments. I look outside, and it's one of those gray days as we're in the first week of December, and try to think back over the years, what is the most memorable Christmas? Now, what makes a memorable Christmas? Hardship, good times, family, just what does make a memorable Christmas? Well, I think back over the various Christmases that like so many people in this country, you enjoy the time of the year. Is it the family that does it? Yes, it sure is. Is it friends? You bet it is. Is it your connection, possibly with a church or some organization? You bet it is. All these things add to memorable Christmases, but probably the first one, that first Christmas that anybody experiences in the country, is probably one of the things that you can long remember. And my first Christmas up here was in 1950. We were out on a trap line on Birch Creek, and we were a long ways from home, from Durham, North Carolina, and we were kind of just like any young fellows, the fellow that I grew up with. We were both 20 years of age while we were out there trying to live off the country, and boy, I'll tell you, come Christmas time, we were getting mighty lean, and a lot of mail came in for us. We brought a sled, it was toboggan type, where we had our harnesses that both Joe and I would hook ourselves up to that thing in tandem. And of course, it was easy going into the hot springs with it. We got all these packages all the way that had come from North Carolina. And boy, Jim, I'll tell you, that toboggan was plumb full of candies and cookies and things that were necessary.
Where were you? You were prospecting out on Birch Creek, was that right, Don?
Yeah, we had prospected there, and there were no results. We had also had done some mining in August of that year up on Ketchum Creek, and that was good ground. We were getting at least a dollar a yard on that ground, but it was pick and shovel work. And I tell you, Jim, there's other ways to make a living easier than that. So we were up against it, and just like a lot of people, you wonder where your next meal is going to come from. You wonder just how you're going to be able to make ends meet. You realize that what you're doing is not successful. So really, you're down to the basic necessities. And come Christmas time, you think of home. You think of your family back there, and boy, I tell you, you get homesick. So here you are in a little old trapline cabin way out in the middle of nowhere, and you're really down in the dumps. And I think maybe it's good for everybody to have to experience something like that, because that can be the low time of your life. And from that point on, through the rest of your life, if you'll remember those days, boy, I'll tell you, every Christmas that comes along after that, it is absolutely fantastic. So no matter what your state might be in later years, I can always go back and relate to that time when we really didn't have very much. We had some food that had come from home, and you sit around that little stove in the cabin there, and be thankful for what you did have. I remember we had a Bible there that some other trapper had left there in that cabin, and I had wanted to study the scriptures. And while I was in there that winter, I would struggle with it, and I couldn't understand it, and I'd put it aside for a while, and then I'd come back, and maybe a week or so later, and try and get something that would help me in that thing. And I really had difficulty trying to understand the scriptures, and it wasn't until later when I run across a construction fellow here in Fairbanks who, too, was looking for something to make life meaningful to him, that he found the answer, and it was through that book. And since that time, of course, my whole life has been built on that book. And I married a good woman here in Fairbanks, had a good family, and all six of them are here in Fairbanks now with their families now, and got a slug of grandkids. I gotta go back and say, really, the information that I got from that book, from the Bible, was the thing that changed the course of my life. And it makes every Christmas a most enjoyable time, because I realize that God gave a tremendous gift, which we try to, in our simple little ways, try to give gifts to one another. But it was the gift of His Son to this planet that can change men's lives and make things most enjoyable for our life, and to be thankful for so many things.
Don, did you, that all started then back there when you were at the mining camp, or when your mining cabin and trapping cabin and the book and the Bible that you found there, that started you reading the Bible and learning about the scriptures. And at that same time, you know, I think that the gifts that you received were gifts that had a great deal of meaning to you, and in as much as they were substantially food items from your relatives outside the state of Alaska. How did those food items get to Circle Hot Springs then?
Well, they come in by mail. They had a mail run up there once a week, Ween Airline. Ween was the mail carrier, and they had a Norseman. And I'm trying to think of the fellow's name. It was a pilot. He was the one, Don Ames, I think was his name. He was a big fellow, jovial type of a pilot, and everybody would look for him whichever day of the week it was that the mail run would come up there. And at that Christmas time, it was a big old Norseman plane, and not only our items that came in for us, but for so many of the people right in the Circle Hot Springs area and over Central. And that plane was just jam-packed with stuff that came in that Christmas, because we'd go up there to the mail plane. Everybody would look forward to the mail plane when it would come in, and our timing was just right. So we'd gone up to the airstrip there and helped unload all this stuff, not only our stuff, but other stuff for other people. And people really looked forward to the mail plane that would come in once a week. Now, you got to remember, the only communications that you had then was radio. You didn't have any TV or any of the rest of the stuff. And so even if they'd had a film maybe once a week somewhere, that was a big occasion. And everybody would look forward to going to somebody's place to see a movie once a week. And that was the way it was up at Fort Yukon when we were up there. That was a big occasion to be able to go to the movie house.
Uh-huh. And so they brought these movies in every once in a while. Now, when all these packages came in, who were the people that were running or in charge of the mail there at Circle Hot Springs?
Well, of course, the mail would be brought in a mail bag, and that would go to Mrs. Leach, who was the postmistress there. Barbara Leach, I believe her first name was. Frank Leach was in his declining years, and the people who may recall that he was the one who pioneered and homesteaded the Hot Springs area there and was responsible for having that big hotel that still stands there. I believe it was built in the 1930s sometime. And he was the one that was aggressive enough to get that whole area built up the way it is. And much of that's been passed on now to different leaseholders and different owners. And Bob Miller now owns that whole area up there, and he's running the show there now.
Once you received your presence from outside, how far away was it to your camp back on Birch Creek?
Well, we figured it was somewhere about 15 to 17 miles. It depended on which gorge or which creek we would go up. The shortest route was the most difficult route. The longer route was the easier route. So we've had to try both of them and time ourselves and find out how much energy we had left by the time we got back to camp. And we definitely found out that the longer way was the shortest route, because you could get back after one long day and still be half alive.
tell me, that day that you picked up all your packages, which I guess were numerous and perhaps pretty heavy, tell us about the trip back that particular day. Christmas Day, wasn't it, Don?
Yeah, it was Christmas Day, and we were down in the dumps because we wanted to get back to camp. That we had to regulate ourselves on the weather. It was cold, just like it is, like our winters used to be up here, Jim. It was probably 40 or 45 below zero, and we wanted to get back to camp to celebrate because we had all this stuff in these bags, but we didn't want to start opening them up along the trail or even back at the hot springs. So we determined to wait until we got back to camp, and of course it was the anticipation, you know how that is. Well, we fizzled out. I remember that. We were trying to get up over the... We would take the shortest route. There'd been a lot of snow, and we figured with our snowshoes we'd be able to make it, but we weren't able to make it. So we had to cache part of the stuff before we got up the first ridge.
Were you carrying the stuff, or how were you transporting it?
Well, we just offloaded off this toboggan.
Oh, I see.
That was in there. And we couldn't pull it with the two of us pulling. So we just had to cache part of the stuff alongside the trail. And we come back a couple of days later and took the rest of the items back into camp. There was no problem with anybody coming along and swiping the stuff because people were very honest. And actually, it seemed like everybody was more concerned about the other people's welfare. And it was really a different attitude then than what we've got now.
And so you finally made it back to your camp with all your gear and everything. And, of course, this particular Christmas, and considering that you had been living off the land all this time, I think that those packages of food were welcome in your camp, weren't they, Don?
Well, you're not kidding, Jim. You eat moose meat two or three times a day, and all you got is basically a meat diet and oatmeal. Boy, you get cookies from home and things like that. Very memorable. Things you'll always remember.
Well, thanks, Don, for sharing one of your most memorable Christmases with us.
Don May, this is Jim Madonna on Alaska Gold Trails wishing you and your family a very Merry Christmas. Listen to this, folks. Last year, the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce gave Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair their prestigious Raven About Fairbanks Award for providing the best vehicle service in Fairbanks. This is a way for us to show how proud we are of one of our local businesses. The folks at Gabe's want to send you a special season's greetings, and here's Mickey from Gabe's Truck and Auto to send you those greetings.
Hi, this is Mickey from Gabe's Truck and Auto Repair. On behalf of all of us here, we would like to thank you for your business this past year, and we want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and the happiest of New Years.
Thank you, Mickey. Let me wish all the folks over there at Gabe's a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Thanks much for sponsoring Alaska Gold Trails. Well, I got a great idea. Let's do what we do to give away this time a beautiful set of Alaskan minerals from Alaskan prospectors located at 504 College Road. The first person to call us at 479-TALK, that's 479-8255, and give us the correct answer to our question, will win a set of Alaskan minerals from Alaskan prospectors. Now listen to this, folks. We have a sponsor of Alaska Gold Trails located a small distance out of town in a beautiful frontier setting. I dine at this location on festive occasions, and in my view, this is the finest dining in interior Alaska. The question is, what is the name of this lodge, and on what road is it located? Oh my goodness, the panel is all lit up, and so here we go. Hello, you're on the air. This is Jim. Hello? Well, let's try this line. Hello?
North Country Inn.
Close, but no cigar, sir. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, it's Two Rivers Lodge.
Yes.
It's on Chena Hot Springs Road, and this is Bev at Chena Hot Springs Resort.
That's right, ma'am. Two Rivers Lodge, located at 16 Mile. What is your name?
Bev.
Bev, hello. Bev, how are
Hi.
You today?
I'm good.
Okay, Bev, you know, if you'll stop up here at KFAR and pick up your certificate, you can then drop over at Alaskan Prospectors and pick up a beautiful set of Alaskan minerals.
Super, thank you.
Thanks, Bev, and Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, Don and Stasha from Two Rivers Lodge, located at 16 Mile Chena Hot Springs Road, want to wish our listening audience and all their friends the merriest of Christmases and, of course, a happy, happy New Year. Stasha and Don, on behalf of the University of Alaska Fairbanks Mining Extension and KFAR, I want to thank you for sponsoring Alaska Gold Trails and wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Now on to our next Frontier Christmas. We all know Stu Rothman, the famous Alaskan photographer who owns and operates the Lens Unlimited. Stu was born in Rochester, New York in 1930. Interestingly, Stu has lived, worked, and traveled nearly all 50 states and more than 40 foreign countries. It's kind of interesting how Stu happened to come to Alaska. It seems his wife, Lee, had lived in Anchorage as a teenager, and as the story goes, she ended up in Denver, Colorado, where she met Stu. Seems she had a burning desire to return to Alaska, and in 1959, the year of statehood, she returned dragging Stu to the frozen north along with her. And many of us know they have been captured by the magnetism of the last frontier. Here is Stu Rothman with his tale about his most memorable Christmas.
We're here with Stu Rothman today, and Stu's going to give us one of his most memorable Christmases here in the frontier of Alaska. Stu, what do you got for us today?
Well, it's kind of hard to give you just one Christmas. What I'd like to do, really, in talking about Christmases past, is to think of more than one, because it's sort of a series of things that happen, but it isn't just one Christmas, and it's happened again and again and again. Of course, it doesn't happen much anymore. The other day when you called and mentioned that you'd like me to comment on one of my most memorable Christmases in Alaska, I started thinking a while at some of the things we used to do, and I remember back in the late 50s and early 60s, there's a way we used to celebrate my birthday. And my birthday happens to be December 27th, 2 days after Christmas. And we used to get together, and everybody would be in the Christmas spirit, and we'd have a weenie roast, a picnic. And I mean, an outdoor thing. We'd go sometimes 15, 20 people. It could be 50 below zero. And we'd drive along out past Esther and Cripple Creek and up the hill, get on that old Nenana Highway, get a few miles from town and pick an area there, and The snow might be 5-6 feet deep. There'd been no plows or anything. It's off to the side of the road. And then we'd, the first of us, would get out of the car. We usually have 2 or 3 four-wheel drives. But we'd park by the side of the road, and the first couple of us would get out and just fight through waist-deep snow till we get about 20 feet from the road, and then we'd fight our way back to the road and then fight our way back again. And pretty soon, about after 10 of us have been doing that for 15 minutes, we'd have a little path worn, and almost like a little valley with the snow 4 or 5 feet high on the sides. We'd widen it, and then we'd start tromping at the end of this 20-foot thing in a circle. And then the rest of the women had come in, and some of the kids that were there. And pretty soon we'd have a 10, 20-foot diameter circle tromped out on the snow with 4 or 5 foot walls of snow all around us. And we'd bring out some logs and firewood that we brought with us and build a fire right in the center. And then it would burn its way down another couple feet into the snow, had kind of like a fireplace there, and we'd have a weenie roast at 40, 50 below zero. There was always somebody would bring a jug of eggnog along, and we'd wind up actually singing Christmas carols out there at 46, 50 below zero and roasting hot dogs. And it's a shame that things like that just don't happen anymore. I know that... Gosh, we did that from the late 50s up until, all the way up. I think we did it the year of the flood, or and after the flood in the late 60s. But long about the 70s, about 15, 20 years ago, it kind of stopped. And even in recent years, I've called up a few friends, and when it's been January or late December, and I said, hey, let's go have a weenie roast. And they say, are you insane, or what have you been drinking? And I said, no, I'm serious. Come on. And they say, it's 40 below out there. And I said, so we'll dress warm and build a fire. And no, for the last 15, 20 years, I haven't been able to get anybody interested in a Christmas weenie roast at 50 below zero. It's a shame, but maybe it'll come back someday.
Stu, what a fascinating story. Thanks a lot for your information here and sharing one of your most memorable Christmases or a sequence of memorable Christmases with us.
My pleasure.
Stu, Merry Christmas to you and your wife, Lee, on this festive occasion. Folks, this is Jim Madonna. The show is Alaska Gold Trails, and you're listening to KFAR Radio 660 AM on your radio dial in Fairbanks, Alaska. By the way, have you called Oxford's quote line today? The number is 452-7858. Let's do, I got a good idea, let's do what we do to give away this time a 1 troy ounce silver ingot from Oxford Assaying and Refining. That's our frontier quiz. The first person to call us at 479-TALK, that's 479-8255, and give us the correct answer to our question will win a 1 troy ounce silver ingot from Oxford, located over there at 208 Wendell Street. Are you ready for this? Last week, we discussed Oxford Assaying and Refining's precious metal quote line, and the number is 452-7858. You better write that down for future use. And now, for a 1 troy ounce silver ingot, the question is, what is the price of platinum today according to Oxford's quote line? Oh, my goodness, we're all lit up again. Let's see what we've got here. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
483.
483. For platinum?
Right, Roger.
Nope. We're off just a little bit there. But how about a consolation of dropping over to Alaskan Prospectors and picking up a piece of Alaskan placer gold?
Roger, Roger.
Thank you, sir. The lines are open for... Again, for a silver ingot, platinum at Oxford Assaying and Refining, if you can give me the price today, would appreciate hearing from you. By the way, I was given this price a little earlier. Maybe I should just call up Oxford and find out what the price is. Let's see. Their number over there then is 452-7858.
Well, it's busy. But we have another caller here. Let's see what we have here. Hello, you're on the air.
870.
Can you give me that one more time, please?
50870.
Exactly correct, sir. Thank you very much for the call. What's your name?
Marty Rose.
Marty, thanks for the call. I've heard from you before, and I want to tell you how much I appreciate you calling up Alaska Gold Trails.
Okay.
Hey, Marty, why don't you stop up here, get your certificate, and then drop over to Oxford and pick up that 1 troy ounce silver ingot.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Oxford Assaying and Refining, located at 208 Wendell Street, are your precious metal people. D. Church and all the folks over there at Oxford want to wish you a happy holidays. And here's D. with a very special Christmas greeting.
It's been a pleasure sponsoring Alaska Gold Trails. This is D. Church from Oxford Assaying and Refining. On behalf of all of us here at Oxford, I want to thank you for your patronage this past year. And we want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Dee, on behalf of the University of Alaska Mining Extension and all of the folks here at KFAR Radio, I want to thank you for sponsoring Alaska Gold Trails and wish you the merriest of Christmases and a happy and prosperous New Year. Well, let's hear one more of our story, Frontier Christmases. Rudy Vetter is a well-known Alaskan prospector and miner. Rudy was born, along with his twin brother Adolf, June 6, 1917, in Ruff, Washington. He became interested in Alaska because of the many people that had moved to Washington after they had struck it rich in the Alaska mining community, mining for gold. In 1951, after mining in Idaho and later serving in the armed forces in Australia, where he met his wife, Grace, he came to Fairbanks for the purpose of prospecting and mining for gold. This is one of Rudy Vetter's most memorable Christmases. And in just 1 minute, we'll have Rudy here.
We're here today with Rudy Vetter, and Rudy is going to give us one of his most memorable Christmases in interior Alaska. What have you got for us today, Rudy?
Well, in 1965 or 67, during the summer season, we were mining and milling in the Clary Hill area. We were doing the milling at the old Clary Mill. In late September, we closed the mill for the season and went into town, and Christmas Eve, early in the afternoon, we decided that we'd go up to the mill and look around a little bit. And we walked into the cleanup room, and lo and behold, here was a pan of mercury amalgam, and we completely forgotten or left it sitting there from late September until Christmas Eve. We took that into town and later and retorted it and produced a saleable product. And in anticipation of the fact that we'd found an additional 200 ounces of gold, we were able to have a little better Christmas.
Well, thank you, Rudy, for your most memorable Christmases. Let's take a look A1 Transmission, your locally owned and operated transmission center, offers some great money-saving specials going on right now. Automatic transmission service for only $29.95. Sounds good so far, but what do you get for $29.95? They'll change the transmission fluid, clean screen, adjust bands, install new pan gaskets, adjust linkage, check all U-joints, all of this for just $29.95, and that includes parts and all labor. Need a rebuilt transmission built with quality parts and tender loving care? Check out this. For most two-wheel drive cars, a complete transmission installed for only $425. That's not just parts, that's parts and all labor. Try and beat that in Fairbanks. And for most pickups and four-wheel drive vehicles, rebuilt automatic transmissions installed, all parts and labor for 400 $175. With the prices others are charging, this is real value. All transmissions come with a 1-year, 1,200-mile warranty. Do you want a custom rebuilt transmission for racing, heavy-duty four-wheel driving? Mark Clark at A1 Transmissions can build you any type of transmission you want. I mentioned Mark Clark. Yes, Mark is the owner and does all the transmission building himself. Many years have gone into his expertise, and he knows how to make them work. Mark Clark at A1 Transmission is an automatic transmission specialist. It's his only business, and he's good at it. Financing is available on approved credit. So call Mark at 479-2017 or stop by at 3584 Garrity. That's A1 Transmission, your super value transmission center. Remember, the number is 479-2017. Now, folks, we'd like to take a visit with Roy Larson, who wants to share one of his most memorable Christmases with us. Sitting here with Roy Larson, and Roy is... agreed to give us one of his most memorable Christmases here in the interior of Alaska. Roy, what do you got for us today?
This is back in the late 40s or early 50s. My family had Christmas with Jim Borders and Ash Richardson and their families. We would have Thanksgiving at one house, Christmas at the other one, and New Year's at the third house. We would all go in and women get together and fix up a big dinner. We'd eat. Everybody would sack out on the floor and beds and everywhere else for about an hour and a half and sleep. Then the men would get up and walk to the other houses. And after we had a car, why, we drove the car, but we'd walk to the other houses and check the fires and see if everything was warm so they didn't freeze up, and then go back to the house we were eating at. And this one time we were coming across a river from the end of Lacey Street over by the hospital, and the ice just gave out away from under the car, and we dropped about 18 inches. So we had to go rustle up some planks and get a ramp made so we could get the car going up off the ice again. But, we did this for several years, and it was one of our happiest areas because there was not too much going on otherwise, and everybody had Christmas and Thanksgiving and New Year's at home, had big dinners at home.
Well, that was kind of a strange way to spend your Christmas Day, Roy, digging a car out of the middle of the Chena River as you tried to cross, or attempted to cross one of the ice bridges at that time.
That wasn't too bad. The ice wasn't... The water had gone down during the winter, so we didn't get down in any water. It was just a little bit lower, and the old Model A Ford didn't come out too bad.
Well, thank you for your most memorable Christmas, Roy.
Roy, Merry Christmas and have a Happy New Year. Well, folks, we're pretty close to the hour. We got about 2 minutes to go. Let's hear from Leah Madonna and her most memorable Christmas. And you know who Leah is. She's the woman in my life.
We're here with Leah Madonna today, and Leah's going to tell us about one of her most memorable Christmases. Leah, what do you have for us?
Well, when I look back, I think that probably 1976 was the most memorable year. At that time, as winter approached and money wasn't in great abundance, we decided that we wanted to invite our friends in from the bush. We'd met them over the years, and they'd come in the summertime, but this one Christmas, we thought we'd like to have something in our home with a frontier theme. So we wrote to these people down around Tok and other outlying regions. Plus, we located a couple of bachelor friends around town who had no family or ties here. And we got together with a potluck, old-fashioned Christmas. We had moose, caribou, sheep, pheasant, shrimp, and crab from southeastern Alaska, homemade biscuits by a lady that was used to making them over her wood stove and really knew how to make them. We just had a quiet evening together, enjoying the food, telling big Alaskan tales, and the warmth was just beyond belief.
Well, thank you, Leah, for your most memorable Christmas.
Folks, this winds up the first hour of Alaska Gold Trail special on our most memorable frontier Christmases. We'll be back right after the ABC News and, of course, Johnny Holiday, which will be up in just 30 seconds.
ABC News, I'm John Degnan. Lynette Squeaky Fromm is still on the loose tonight, and federal prison officials in Alderson, West Virginia still have little to go on.
We do not know whether or not this was a planned escape or whether it was reasonably impulsive. We don't know where she may be going. So we have really nothing new at this point.
Fromm, who was serving life for the attempted assassination of President Ford in 1975, was discovered missing during a bed check last night at the federal prison for women. Prison spokesman Lane Wagaman says it's doubtful Fromm is hiding on the prison grounds.
The grounds have been searched very intensively twice. Once last night, just after we found her missing or believed to be missing, and again this morning just after...